This is the Joe Thomas in the Morning podcast. I know this because, well, I'm Joe Thomas, and these are podcasts made out of the morning broadcast of the Joe Thomas in the Morning show on WCHV Radio in Charlottesville, available to you at WCHV.com if you don't get it over the air, or you can download our brand new smartphone app. It's got all sorts of great features, but it also has the stream of the station so you can listen wherever you are. I don't expect you to listen to all 4 hours. Sometimes it's tough for me to listen to all 4 hours in a row, but here they are, broken up so that you can find them in context.
I'm CBS 19 Chief Meteorologist Travis Koshko for Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
WCHV time 8:07. We invited Scott to come in. Scott Beyer, founder and the chief of and one of the main writers at the Market Urbanism Report, and a great Charlottesvillean as well. And anytime I can report to people that Charlottesville is sending great people out into the universe and doing amazing things again, I think it's a big. And it started when I saw a great post on my Twitter feed from Scott about an affordable housing project causing controversy. It's in Louisville, right?
Yes, sir.
Pronounce it correctly for all our ACC brethren. So like happens here and has happened here two or three times and may happen again later on tonight at City Council, the idea of building affordable housing is fine until it's next door.
Yes.
How do we break free of that? And I guess it would be easy to say that, oh, it's when you establish property values as a metric of what your neighbor's property sells for. I can see where somebody says, well, hold it, you're going to knock my property value in half or by a quarter. And that would be a debatable point to them.
Right. And we had that discussion, I think, the last time I came on, which is, There are two contradicting concepts here. So if you want affordable housing, it's kind of hard to then come out and say, oh, well, the ultimate goal then is to preserve property values, because those two work in contrast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like I'm more of the affordability mindset. I think that we need that this whole idea that property values is the entire structure of how we build our wealth is kind of nebulous and sort of unstable.
I've always scratched my head that houses are the only thing that get more valuable as they get older and more worn down.
Right, right. It's not supposed to be that way.
Well, does that come from forced scarcity of property in and of itself? I remember, was it Prop 13 in California that rejiggered their property values, or at least their taxation on it, to be based on the last time you sell your property,
right?
Plus like a cost of living bump every year. But for the most part, if you bought your property 100 years ago, well, you're only going to be basing your property taxes based on what you paid for it in the first place.
Yeah, which is it's thought to be a regressive tax structure. But yeah, I think that housing as it gets older should become cheaper. And so this whole idea that it's going to appreciate in value, like you say, is antithetical to economics and markets, and nothing else works that way.
But, well, diamonds do. Ask the De Beers family.
And wine.
what other mine full of diamonds? We know nothing about another mine full of diamonds. We don't have any diamonds that we're not putting onto the market, or oil.
Yeah.
Anything that you can force the scarcity
right,
of.
Right, right.
I think you're automatically going to. And when it becomes a government's role to first create that scarcity, which then creates the property value increases, which then they profit from in terms of higher property tax valuations.
Right.
That becomes almost, you head slap saying, well, how does this not become corruptible?
Yeah, and they're all kind of working together, and it's sort of like they all benefit from it,
right,
from the process. But yeah, to your point, whether we're talking about housing or wine or diamonds or oil, forced scarcity is what causes it to appreciate with time, but that's not how it's going to work in an organic market. I would argue that's not how it should work.
Mm-hmm.
Like the government should not be forcing scarcity of housing just so that that it benefits an entrenched class of landowners and homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
It should be liberalizing and allowing the market to work for
traditional
liberalizing, classical liberal economics.
Yeah,
and that's what's going to make a commodity affordable to a broader range of people.
What do you say to the folks who say that we have to force scarcity, otherwise we would just clear cut all of our beautiful hillsides and everything would be pavement and parking lots?
I would argue that our scarcity mindset now actually worsens that problem. Because what happens is we can't build where the existing infrastructure is in Central Virginia, which in Central Virginia is Charlottesville in Albemarle County.
Mm.
So instead, people have to sprawl out to Orange, Louisa, Fluvanna, Greene County, Nelson County. And I would argue that causes more overpaving and automobile use than otherwise would have to occur in Central Virginia.
Scott Beyer, Market Urbanism Report. What's the web address for people to read it?
MarketUrbanismReport.com.
Yeah, see, I could have told you that, but I wanted to let him do it. We'll be right back with him. The latest on the shootings, Max Sports, all coming up.
Being tuned in means some schools are close to a year-round schedule. Good idea. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
WCHV time, 8:23, Scott Beyer, MarketUrbanismReport.com, and we're talking about affordable housing. He's got a story out of Louisville where, you know, the same thing we've seen here, whether it's Jeff Leonard's project on Cherry Avenue or the one that was going to go out in North Downtown area, and now they've got the church in Belmont who's suffering with the slings and arrows of not my neighborhood. So what do we do? How do we, and it seems like the struggle is obvious. Everyone says we need to have better options for affordable housing. I was on a round table Friday for CBS This Morning talking about race in Charlottesville and the country. And I said, but there's really an economic issue. And Elliot Harding brought up redlining and packing of poverty into neighborhoods. So it's here's all, and then the schools suffer for lack of resources in there. How do we classically liberalize this marketplace so that we can start expanding? Do we need to look at up, out, redevelopment zones, habitats model, or all of the above, Scott?
All of the above. I mean, everything you just mentioned sounds good to me. I mean, everything from building up to building out to having creative solutions like nonprofit developers build on community land trusts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of a third option. But I mean, above all, just liberalize the zoning and, you know, reduce the regulations and sort of the onerous process to get projects approved. It's kind of interesting. You brought me on to talk about Louisville, and that's another example of like, there's a developer who wants to build affordable multifamily housing on some lots in a wealthy eastern suburb of Louisville, and it's kind of funny, like even the mayor is coming out against it, which is actually pretty unusual. Usually the residents are opposed, but even the mayor is vehemently opposed. And they're using all kinds of, you know, I mean, I guess some of them are legitimate and some arguments are not so much, but everything from the fact that it's going to bring more traffic to the fact that this specific lot used to have deer and raccoons. And now,
so it's displacement. You actually have the
of animals.
Well, but at the end of it, I understand that if you have a lot invested in a piece of property or anything, you know,
right,
you want to protect it. But I just don't see how, when there's three times as many Virginians as there were 100 years ago, we can sit and say we're going to make less area available for people to live on, and how that math is going to work out anything but.
It won't work because most areas of the country are growing, and mm-hmm. so people just have to accept. I think if you're going to, the property value argument boils down, if somebody's trying to make that argument, then what they're effectively saying is, I want to use crony-style regulatory capture, government regulatory capture to increase the value of my property at the expense of somebody else who can't find affordable housing. So that's people who are making that argument. That's what the property value argument. That's what they're saying.
And then the politicians send out mailers saying, we need more affordable housing. Vote for me. Vote for me. And then wash her and repeat and vote for me again. We even see this in some instances where the government will intercede. Now, like in Greene County, there was property that was not selling, and they couldn't sell it for, they didn't get the bids they wanted. So through some wrangling with the development groups, they managed to get the county to buy the land for what they had originally asked for it, and it was a, and put up a visitor center there instead of whatever had been offered. I understand there were offers for about $800,000. They wound up getting the county to buy it for $1.1 million.
That sounds like a nice deal for the developer.
Well, or the property owner, whoever it was. But the, at the end of the day, this is also changing the landscape of what property value really is.
Right.
You know, where a business could get started up. I see the same thing, you know, when a government says a business is too big to fail, props it up, and then that new business can't grow because it's been overwhelmed by this legacy business that should be struggling because it's not paying attention to the marketplace.
Right. I mean, there's sort of like moral hazard all throughout the process in our current system. On one hand, it's governments artificially inflating property values with restrictive zoning and various other artificial scarcities. On another hand, it's governments trying to get directly involved in the real estate process, which leads to a lot of cronyism and waste. Yeah. And misappropriation.
But we also see this process of funding our schools off of our property taxes failing the schools as well. So why isn't there a consensus to say, okay, it's failing the schools, it's failing our property values, it's failing, you know, every direction you turn around from it. Are there places, are there pockets we can look at, Scott, in your coverage of this kind of thing, where we could look at and say, look, see, it's working there, almost like we were doing before with California and Prop 13?
Yeah, it seems overwhelmingly that most cities and states don't have very balanced, broad tax bases. But, I mean, I think that's really what your question gets to the heart of is, you don't want to just depend on property taxes because then it creates the bad set of incentives that we're talking about of, hey, well, let's always just do whatever we can to increase the property values then. You want to have sales tax. I mean, property tax, and I think that would, you know, various, I think fees, a fee-based structure where people use, they pay for what they use.
Sure.
That creates a revenue stream as well.
But it also then says to somebody, I don't have to pay this tax if I'm not using X.
Yes. In reality, that's actually that would be my preferred model, whether or not whether you're using roads or schools or
sewer lines,
recreation centers, whatever, whatever government service you're using, pay a fee. And so then you have a dedicated revenue stream that helps pay for the service as well.
I think it is. Now, are there any places that do that? So we can point to it and say, look, you know, Township X in New Jersey or something is building.
I found that Texas tie in general is, Texas is generally like a well-run and kind of, they're the closest thing to having classical liberal ideas as
they've even done it with the electric utilities if they can, you know, not screw that up as well, you know.
They tie a lot of their utility use to fees. And in fact, they even build toll roads, which is kind of like isn't politically popular in a lot of other places, but they understand the philosophical idea like, hey, if we're going to build a road, charge the people who actually use the road rather than having a broader tax.
MarketUrbanism.com
or MarketUrbanism Report.
Report.com. I caught myself as soon as the words came echoing out of my mouth. Scott, it's so great to catch up with you again, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.